Speaking on this program is Paul Meacham, Jr.
It is said that Philip of Macedon fell asleep one day while hearing a case. Waking suddenly and not having all the facts of the case straight, Philip passed an unjust sentence on the man who was at his mercy. Stung by the sentence, the poor man cried out, "I appeal!" Startled, the king asked, "And to whom do you appeal?" The man replied, "From the king who was sleeping to the king who is waking." The king was so moved by the man's logical appeal that he reversed the judgment he had passed. The best we can hope for when standing before a human judge is justice. However, the Bible tells us that on the last day we will stand before our final judge. On that day we do not want justice, for the wages of sin is death. Romans 6 and verse 23. On the last day we seek not justice, but justification. Stay tuned as we examine the great righteousness of God. We send our greetings to the brethren both here in America and those of you abroad. We're glad that you've taken the time out of your busy schedule to sit down with us and to study God's Word. We also greet each of you who is not a member of the Church of Christ. We hope that by studying the Bible together with us, you will learn what God would have you to do in order to be saved, to be His child, and to live a faithful and holy life before Him. Today we begin a brand new study. We're looking at a study based on the word justification. We're going to learn much about this word and how the Bible uses it, for this is a vast Bible topic. Today we've entitled the program, Justice or Justification. The words are very similar in their nature, yet they have different meanings. And they have a very different import when we consider where our souls will spend eternity. To do this study justice, we really need to back up all the way to the beginning of time. We see in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27 that God creates man in His own image. God then placed man in the Garden of Eden, giving him a paradise to live in. Don't you find it interesting that when God gives something to man, He always gives to man what is best, and He gave man a paradise in which to live. Yet we know that man was not pleased with this. For very soon after God gave this paradise, man chose rather to suffer the punishment of God than to live in the paradise of God. In Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 6, we see that the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. If you're a Bible student, you already know that this was the first sin that was ever committed. God had said you can eat of all the trees except the one in the middle of the garden, and that one you shall not eat of. If you eat, you shall die. This idea of us reaping what we sow, us committing sin and therefore earning for ourselves death, is carried on throughout the entire Bible. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, God through the great prophet said, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." If we commit sin, we do in fact die. This leaves us then with a vital question. If it is the case that all who have come to the age of accountability have sinned, and such is true according to 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 10, and if it is true that the soul that sins, it shall die, according to Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, does that not leave all mankind doomed to a death? The answer might be yes, but the Bible doesn't end with Ezekiel 18 and verse 20. In fact, in the very next verse, Ezekiel 18, verse 21, God says, "If the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live and not die." God has made provisions for those who have sinned and thereby separated themselves from him to return to him. The question then is, how can that be done? This is the exact question that the great man Job asked of the Old Testament. In Job chapter 9 and verse 2, he says, "I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God?" How can man be just in the eyes of God if he has sinned? One option would be that a man might declare himself righteous. Job thought about that very same thing. The same chapter, Job chapter 9 and verse 20, says, "If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, I shall also prove me perverse." Job understood that he could not, merely by declaring himself to be righteous, become righteous. Just saying that I am a righteous man does not make me righteous. In fact, he knew that he had committed sin. Job knew that he had fallen short, and therefore to declare himself as being righteous would be a perverse thing. He knew that he was not a perfect man before God. Paul brings this very same point forward in the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 12, he says, "We dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." This is a picture of men who seek to justify themselves by the actions of other men. And we know, of course, we cannot do this. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning in verse 8, God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Man cannot justify himself, for he does not see himself as God sees him. And the key is for us to be just in the eyes of God. The wise man of Proverbs warns us in chapter 14 and verse 12, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." We might make a judgment that we truly believe is right in justifying ourselves, yet the end of it is death. We must seek justification from the Father. There is, however, a problem. Returning to our text in Job chapter 9, and beginning in verse 32, Job says, "For he," speaking of Jehovah, "is not a man, as I am, that I should answer him, that we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us, that he might lay his hand upon both of us. Let him take his rod away from me, and let not his fear terrify me. Then would I speak and not fear him. But it is not so with me." Job realized that after sinning and separating himself from the Father, he needed one who was a go-between, a mediator. He refers to him in this passage as a daysman, someone who might lay his hand both upon God and upon man and reconcile one to the other. Job knew of no mediator who was suitable. He then asks the question again in Job 25 and verse 4, "How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of woman?" The answer is given, but it wasn't given in Job's day. The answer is given in 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. There John writes, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that you may not sin. For if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." Job saw the matter very clearly, even from an early time. Job knew that he had sinned, and he had not always done that which was right in the Father's eyes. Even then, Job understood that sin brings about death. He also knew that he needed to be justified to God. He needed to be reconciled, brought back. Yet he did not know how that was going to take place. He knew that he could not justify himself, and he, looking around, could find no one else who was qualified to lay his hand both upon man and upon God and reconcile the two. The reason Job could not find this one who was the appropriate mediator is because he had not yet come to earth. It is going to be many thousands of years after the life of Job that God, in his love, John chapter 3 and verse 16 so declares, sends Jesus Christ, his Son, to this earth. And Jesus the Christ dies for the sins of man. But it's more than just dying for man that makes him an appropriate mediator. For he was born as a human is born. Now, he was not conceived as a human is conceived, for that was miraculous. But he was born as a human is born. He lived on this earth as a human for approximately 33 years. According to the book of Hebrews, he suffered all the temptations that man today suffers. And he endured each of those temptations, yet without sin. by coming and living as a man, being born as a man, being tempted as a man, and even dying as a man. He understands every facet of my life. Now, I, sitting on this side of the microphone and you on the other, I cannot tell what you are struggling with in life. I do not know what problems you have to overcome. I don't know what sins are difficult for you to give up, what temptations are hard for you to overcome. But I have a Father who does know, and you have a mediator, if you're the child of God, who stands between you and the Father, who can turn to God and say, I understand what this man feels. He is our go-between. That's the reason here in 1 John 2 and verse 2, he became our propitiation. The one who made things right, the mercy seat, the place where God and man can meet, the place where the price of atonement is paid, the place where the blood is sprinkled. It was the blood of Jesus himself shed on the cross. He is the advocate that we have with the Father. He is the one that we can go to the Father through in order to make our petitions known unto him. Is Jesus your advocate? I certainly hope so. He is if you are his child, if you are obedient to him, hearing the word of God, repenting of your sins, confessing his name before men, and being baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. If you do so, you then have him to call upon, and he is your advocate with the Father. The idea of justification is not one of the simple ideas of the Bible. It is plain enough in what the Bible teaches that justification is available for all men, that it is God who justifies man, but God does not justify all men. And we want to be sure that we do the things necessary in order to receive the justification that God offers to all men. I hope that you'll take your Bible, that you will read and study the Bible on this particular topic, that you will turn your mind to it,